by being persuaded by Jamunacharya, he began to explain Bhagavad Gita to him. And shloka by shloka he would explain the purports. And then finally, while every day they would listen to Bhagavad Gita, discuss Bhagavad Gita, and thus Jamunacharya became purified of all his material attachments. And he said, now I am totally disgusted with my royal duties. So I decided that I don't want to go back to my kingdom. So actually, since I'm not interested in my kingdom, since I'm not interested in anything material, so what's the point in taking that wealth? It's pointless. I don't want to take it. Better forget it. So I don't want to go to that place where my grandfather kept the wealth. But this sadhu told him that, look, actually your grandfather gave me the responsibility to hand over the wealth to you. So unless and until I give it to you, I remain indebted to your grandfather. So you please come and take the wealth, and then you do whatever you want to do with it. Then at least I'll be free from this great responsibility. So Jamunacharya agreed, and then they kept on going south. And then finally they came. Another thing he said, that this wealth was kept in the confluence of two rivers. In the confluence of two rivers, it is surrounded by seven walls, protected by a snake, and it is watched every year or every day by a demon. So then they actually came to the place where the wealth was kept, and the wealth was the deity of Sri Ranganathji. The place is Sri Rangam. It is on the confluence of two rivers. The temple of Sri Rangam is surrounded by seven walls, and the wealth, the Lord, is lying on the Shesha serpent. So it is protected by a snake. And every day Bibhishan, the brother of Lord Ramchandra, comes from Lanka to watch the deities. And then he used to come every day and go back. I think it's every day, according to their calculation, according to our calculation, every year. So, and then Jamunacharya was taken to the temple by the sadhu, and he said that here is the wealth that your grandfather asked me to hand over to you. So please take it and relieve me of this big duty, that big responsibility. So Jamunacharya immediately ran towards the deity, grabbed his lotus feet, and surrendered himself at the feet of the Lord forever. So that is how Jamunacharya got rid of his kingdom and became situated in spiritual life again. Actually, the rest of his life he was there in Sri Rangam temple, taking care of the deity of Ranganathji. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, Kaveri and Godavari. Jamunacharya lived about 900 years ago. Shankaracharya was about 1,000 years ago. And Jamunacharya was about 100 or 150 years after him. Oh, I'm sorry, no. Shankaracharya was about 1,500 years ago. So he must have been 1,400 years ago, 13 to 1,400 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, Brahmins can take up the responsibility of a Kshatriya at times. It is done. a Brahmin can take over the responsibility of a king. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karuti bachalam pangum langhayate girim jat kripa tamahang bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 24th Chapter, Text 47. Jano abudhoyayam nija karma bandhana Sukhechaya karma samihate asukham Jat sevayatam vidhunoti asanmatim Granthim sabhindad dridayam sano guru
Translation In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned souls perform fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here, Maharaj Shrutabrata prays that the Lord sever his hard knot of false happiness and thus become his supreme spiritual master. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of these false desires from the core of my heart. I was wondering, everyone must be pretty bored of my classes for the last 3 days I've been giving so many. I think I gave about 5 classes in the last 3 days. And so I thought that maybe there should be a little change today. I was thinking that maybe we can have a little discussion on this shloka and the purport among ourselves, and then we can I can tell some stories. Would that be right? Sachinandan Prabhu was telling me the other day that everybody is interested to hear stories. So maybe that would be a relief and change from heavy philosophical discussions. So maybe on this purport and the shloka we can just ask a few questions. I'll read the purport once again, so everyone listen to it very carefully, and then I'll ask questions. For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here, Maharaj Shrotabrata prays that the Lord sever his heart knot of false happiness and thus become his supreme spiritual master. So here it's said that all the activities cause distress to the living entities. But generally we know that pious activities give us enjoyment and sinful activities cause us suffering. So why it has been said here that all activities are cause of distress? Who can answer this question? Very good. Because any activity, good or bad, when we perform it for our own sake, we become liable to the reaction. It may be a good action or a bad action, but we become liable to the reaction, and we have to either enjoy or suffer the reaction. So that causes us the bondage. So, very good. Now, how can one be freed from that bondage of material reactions? Who will answer this question? Very good. Now, if I ask why, why is that? By rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become free. Who will answer this question? Yeah. Yes, Krishna says that, but at the same time, in the scripture it has been said that Siddhanto boliya chitte na karo alosh. Don't become lazy, because Krishna said that, and do not try to understand what is the reason behind it. What is the reason behind it? Who will say that? Yes, Krishna said that whenever we render devotional service unto him, he will free us from material bondage. But why it happens like that? If a Tom, Dick or Harry comes and tells us that, we don't believe in him. But when Krishna says that, we do believe in him. Why? The reason is, when we render service unto Krishna, then Krishna becomes liable to the reactions. Then we are not liable anymore. Prabhupada gives the example, when somebody does something, say, for the sake of the king, say a soldier goes to the battlefield and he kills many, many people. Now he does not become responsible for killing them. On the other hand, he becomes rewarded by the king. Now the same person comes to the kingdom and he on his own volition, on his own accord, he kills somebody. And the same king who rewarded him for killing hundreds of people, just because he killed one person, he punishes him. Why? Because the fighting the battle he did for the king. But here he kills somebody for his own sake, because of his own volition. So that is the difference. Like when we act on our own, then we become responsible for the reaction. But when we act on behalf of Krishna, then Krishna becomes responsible for the reactions. And Krishna takes the reactions and he rewards us in return. Now, I'll go to a little difficult question. Like, it says that by rendering service unto Krishna, the hard knot of our material desires are severed. Or here, King Shatabrata is asking the king, asking the Lord, to sever the hard knot of material bondage. Now that has been described towards the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam in a beautiful shloka. What was that shloka? Then the shloka after that? That actually answers that. Bhiddate ridayo granthi, chiddante sarva sanshaya, khiyante chasya karmani. So, bhiddate ridayo granthi, when we listen to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the hard knots of material desires are immediately severed. And chiddante sarva sanshaya, all our doubts are dispelled. When we begin to understand Krishna, then all the doubts are immediately removed or dispelled. And khyante chasya karmani, all our fruitive activities, the reactions of our fruitive activities become immediately loosened. It just fall off on its own. Drishta evatmanishare, by perceiving the Supreme Personality of God. So here it says, so here in this purport, the duty of the spiritual master has been described. And what is the duty? Who will say that? Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay, so... Maybe now we can go to the story. Should we discuss the philosophy or should we go into a story? What is the general story? Okay. So I was thinking of narrating the life of Jamunacharya. You all know about Jamunacharya. And Jamunacharya's life is actually very interesting because Jamunacharya became a king. And he was not a king, he was not the son of a king. He was just a simple Brahmin boy. And so we'll describe now how he became a king. I'm 8 years old and he was studying in the Gurukul. He was in his Guru's ashram. He was studying under the guidance of the Guru. And at that time, there was a very big scholar whose name was Kolahal. Now, Kolahal literally means clamor, noise. So this big scholar used to make a big noise. And he actually defeated all the other scholars, all the other pandits. And under the patronage of the king, he levied taxes on the pandits that he defeated. And all these scholars, the Brahmin pandits, had to pay him some money every year. So, and he was a very, very obnoxious person. But at the same time, he was a very great scholar. And on top of that, he was being patronized by the king. So this kolahal also defeated the guru of Jamunacharya. And so Jamunacharya's guru was supposed to pay some money every year, but for some years he did not pay, because he was just a simple Brahmin living in a very quiet house near the forest on the bank of the river. And he had a few disciples and he was just happy teaching them. Now one day this kolahal's man came to collect money from Jamunacharya's guru. And at that time Jamunacharya's guru was not at home. Only Jamunacharya was there, an 8-year-old boy. So this man came, the disciple of kolahal, and asked, "Where is so-and-so?" So Jamunacharya said that, "My spiritual master is away right now, so can I do something for you?" And this man became very angry. He said that, "Do something. Tell your spiritual master to pay the money that is due to my spiritual master." He said, "What does he think? He has been defeated and now he forgot to pay the money that he is supposed to pay." And he was very blasphemous to the guru of Jamunacharya. So Jamunacharya, although he was an 8-year-old boy, he became very angry. And he told him that, "Look, just the way you are talking, from that I can figure out what kind of guru you have. So since you are talking like a fool, I can see that your guru is also a fool. And so I don't accept that my guru has been defeated by your guru. Most really, since your guru was such a rascal, my guru didn't want to have any encounter with him, so he said, 'Okay, fine, I have been defeated by you.'" He didn't want to get into an argument with such a rascal. And so this man got furious. He said, "Do you know what you're talking about?" Jamunacharya said, "Yes, I know very well what I'm talking about. And so you do one thing, you tell your guru to come and have a fight with me. So if he can defeat me, then only there is a question of my guru being defeated by him. First he must defeat my guru's disciple. And then the question comes to defeat my guru. Your guru is actually not even fit to be the dust of my guru's lotus feet." So Jamunacharya was very furious, and very powerfully he presented his points. And this man got really angry. And he went back to kolahal and said that, "This boy, he has insulted me like that and he has insulted you like this." And he narrated the whole story. So kolahal became very angry. He said, "Okay, so I'll give him punishment. And he doesn't know who he is talking about, who he's talking to." And the king also was there in the assembly at that time. So kolahal told the king, "My king, you have to punish this boy after I defeat him. So go, get that boy to come here and we'll have a fight with him." So kolahal's men went to Jamunacharya and said that, "You have to come." "So okay, fine, my guru has accepted your challenge, so you come and have a fight with him. And when he defeats you, then you'll get the lesson of your life." So Jamunacharya said, "Look, I challenged your guru, so your guru should come here to fight the battle with me. Or if he can't come, then he'll have to take me with due honor, not just send somebody to call me to go there and have a fight. What does he think himself to be?" So then this man again became very furious and went back to the king, the palace, and told kolahal that this boy has spoken like that. So then this kolahal became even more angry. And he told the king, "See the audacity of this little boy. My king, if you don't take care of him, then it'll be a great dishonor to dharma and disrespect to me." So the king said, but what he said is correct. I mean, he challenged you, so either you should accept his challenge by going there, or you must make proper arrangements. So don't worry, I'll make proper arrangements. I'll send a royal reception for him. So the king sent palanquins with his men, and you know, real royal way he sent the invitation for Jamunacharya to come. So Jamunacharya came, an 80-year-old boy, came in the palanquin, carried by the king's bearers. And at that time, when the palanquin just came close to the palace gate, the king and queen were standing on the balcony. And so when Jamunacharya got out of the palanquin, just an 80-year-old boy, the queen told the king, "Now your kolahal is going to meet his right match and see how your kolahal becomes defeated. Won't it be wonderful to see the your kolahal being defeated by this little boy?" The king said, "No, no chance." He said, "The way a cat fights with a mouse, cat plays with a mouse for some time and then before killing him, the same way kolahal will play with this boy for some time and then he will finish him." The queen replied, "No, the way a spark of fire burns out a heap of cotton wool, the same way this boy is going to burn out your kolahal." So then king said, "Queen, what's the matter? What are you talking about? Did you go mad?" So queen said, "No, I'm telling you, this boy is going to smash your kolahal today." So king got very upset and he said that, "Look, try to come to your senses, don't speak like that. After all, one should not be so frivolous." The queen said, "No, I'm not being frivolous. Whatever I'm saying is right. And I take a vow that if this boy cannot defeat kolahal, then I will become the maidservant of your maidservant." The king said, "Queen, what's the matter with you? Like, why do you take such a terrible vow?" "Okay, since you have taken this vow, in order to balance your vow, I will also take a vow that if this boy can defeat kolahal, then I'll give him half my kingdom. Half of my kingdom." Then so they had this condition, and so they went to the assembly. In the meantime, Jamunacharya entered into the assembly, and as soon as kolahal saw Jamunacharya, just the 8-year-old boy, he began to laugh very loudly. He said, "This boy dares to defeat me when all the scholars of this world have been defeated by me and subordinate have succumbed to my feet. So this, how dare this boy take such audacious claim that he is going to defeat me?" He said, "When Ashtabhakra Muni entered into the assembly of Janaka, now how old was he?" Actually, Ashtabhakra was only a very young boy, and he defeated all the sages in the assembly of King Janak. So he gave that example, and then he said that, "Do you think that wisdom is relative to age? If wisdom was relative to age, then that tree that is standing there for hundreds of years would have been the wisest person." So this way he gave few points to prove that this man, kolahal, was actually a fool and a rascal. So then kolahal began to ask him questions. And he started off with simple questions, then questions become harder and harder. But Jamunacharya very easily kept on answering all his questions. So finally, this kolahal did not have any more question to ask. The most difficult questions also has been answered by Jamunacharya. So then, but still he didn't want to show his inability or defeat. So he said, "Okay, very good. So now I give you a chance to ask me some questions. So Jamunacharya said, see, this again proves what a rascal you are. He said, at first you laughed at me because I am such a young boy. But when it came to questioning, then you didn't give me the chance to ask you the first questions. You kept on asking one after another questions. And when all your questions have been exhausted, now as if you are doing me a great favor, you are asking me to ask you a few questions. He said, I don't even want to ask you any questions. He said, I'll make simply three statements and you disprove those statements. I won't ask you any questions, I'll simply make some statements and you disprove those statements. And not many, I'll ask only three, I'll make only three statements. So, then Jamunacharya made the statements. The first statement he made was, your mother is barren. No, your mother is not barren. Barren, you know the...
Yeah.
The woman who cannot produce children. So, Kolahal got a shock. So now in order to defeat that point, he'll have to say that yes, his mother is barren. But how can his mother be barren when she gave birth to him? So he was silent, he couldn't say anything. Then Jamunacharya said, okay, fine. So you couldn't answer that, you couldn't disprove that statement. So the next thing he said, that the king is very, very pious. Now in order to disprove that, Kolahal had to say that the king is impious. So Kolahal couldn't say anything, but he got very angry. And then Jamunacharya said that the queen is the epitome of chastity. The queen is the personification of chastity. Now to defeat that point, Kolahal had to say that the queen is unchaste. So he got so angry, he started screaming and shouting. He said, this boy is simply tricking me to shut my mouth. And he said, the king, you must take care of that. See, he is disgracing you and your queen. And so he got very, very angry and started screaming and shouting like that. Then Kolahal said, okay, fine, now you have to disprove these three points you made. And if you can't disprove these points, then it has to be understood that you have been defeated. And then we'll give you proper punishments to you. So then Jamunacharya quoted a shloka from the scriptures that said that if a woman is the mother of only one child, she's as good as barren. And since Kolahal's mother has only one son, Kolahal is the only son of his mother, so his mother is as good as barren. Then he quoted another shloka that says that the king takes 1/6 of the active reactions of the citizens. And since the age of, and this in the age of Kali, the dharma is standing on one leg, three legs are broken. So although the king is very pious and very religious and endowed with all good qualities, but still king is sinful. Because he has to take the karma of his citizens. And the third question he answered, like, in the personality of the king, all the demigods are also present, like Indra, Chandra and Varun. So when the king was married to the queen was married also to those personalities, because those personalities are present in the body of the king. So that's why, although the queen is very chaste, but still she is unchaste. So this way, he was defeated. Kolahal was defeated, and then the king told Yamunacharya, so this man had been causing so much distress to all people, all the saintly brahmanas, and now, but I could not do anything to him because the condition was that if he could defeat somebody, then he can do anything to him, whatever he likes. And so since no one could defeat him, I could not really do anything to him. Actually, this man is a demon. So now you have defeated him. So now you tell me what I should do with him. If you want, I can even kill him. He is so sinful. Yamunacharya said, no, no point in killing him. Just let him go, leave this kingdom. So he was banished from the kingdom. And the king gave Yamunacharya half of his kingdom. So this is how Yamunacharya became the king. Now do you all want to know how Yamunacharya gave up his kingdom? So Yamunacharya got very much involved in his royal activities, in his kingdom. But Yamunacharya had a grandfather. He was a very great saintly personality. He used to live in Himalayas, and but he became quite worried before leaving this planet about the future of Yamunacharya, because he saw that Yamunacharya now got involved in royal activities and with so much material involvement, and his spiritual life was in danger, and he wanted to make sure that Yamunacharya's spiritual life does not get jeopardized. So just before leaving this planet, he told his disciple, one of his very intimate disciples, that, see, I am leaving this planet now. So you take care of this Yamunacharya, that he comes back to spiritual life in due course of time. So this disciple assured him, yes, I would take care of your grandson. And then Yamunacharya's grandfather left this planet. And after that, this disciple of his grandfather came to see Yamunacharya in his kingdom. And when he came to the gate, main gate, city gate, he saw that so many big people are actually waiting to get a darshan of Yamunacharya, to get an audience of Yamunacharya. So so he felt that even though I get a chance to see him, but I won't be able to speak to him about what I wanted to speak to. So he made a plan, he thought of a plan, and leaving the main gate, he went to the back entrance and went to the kitchen. And he collected some spinach and gave the spinach to the head cook, the chef, and said, look, you please make some spinach out of, prepare something out of this spinach, because this spinach is very good for one's memory and intelligence and spiritual life. It invigorates all these good qualities in the personality. So please cook something with the spinach for the king. So the chef got, the head cook got very happy, and he assured, okay, fine, I'll cook something for the king. And so he cooked some spinach for the king and offered it to him with many other preparation. And next day also this man came and offered him, gave the cook some spinach, and he cooked the spinach and gave it to the king. So this way for 2 months, every day, he was bringing the spinach for Yamunacharya, and Yamunacharya was having the spinach. Then one day, he did not come with the spinach. So there was no spinach preparation. So at the time of lunch, the king saw that there was no spinach, so he asked the head cook, what happened today? How come there is no spinach? How come there is no spinach today? So the head cook said, see, one sadhu actually comes every day with the spinach. And he had been coming since last 2 months, but today, for some reason, he didn't come, so I didn't have the spinach. So Jamunacharya got very curious. He said, who is that sadhu who comes every day for some to give me some spinach? And he said, why he comes like that every day? So he said that he gave me the spinach and told me that this spinach is very good for one's memory and intelligence and also for his spiritual life. So Jamunacharya said, who is that sadhu? He said, I don't really know, but he has been coming for last 2 months every day with your spinach. So Jamunacharya said, next time he comes, please bring him to me. So the next day the sadhu came with the spinach. So the head cook said, look, the king wanted to see you. So he was taken to the king. So Jamunacharya asked him that, why did you take so much trouble for me? Why are you so concerned about me? Then he said, you see, I am actually a disciple of your great, your grandfather, a very, very great personality. And so since I'm very concerned about you, since you are his grandson, so I used to bring that spinach for you because I'm concerned about your welfare. And on top of everything, your grandfather actually left a vast amount of wealth in my care to hand over to you. So I'm just waiting to hand it over to you because unless I give it to you, I do not feel at ease. So Jamunacharya, at that time he actually was about to get into a war with some neighboring king, so he needed a lot of money. And he felt that for a saintly personality it is possible to have, for a great personality like his grandfather, it is possible to have a lot of wealth because of his spiritual prowess. He could produce anything. So Jamunacharya said, okay, please, fine, give it to me. Where is the wealth? So he said that wealth is actually not here. It is kept on the southern direction, and it is kept in a place that is surrounded by seven walls, and it is protected by a serpent. And every year a demon comes to see that the wealth is intact. So Jamunacharya said, okay, fine, so let's go wherever the place is. So let me just get my army ready to come along with me. But then the sadhu said, no, to that place you have to come alone yourself, because, you know, it is not proper to carry it, to make it so public, to take so many people to collect the wealth, because there may be some misunderstanding and some crisis. So you just come alone with me and fetch the wealth. So Jamunacharya was a very courageous man. So he said, okay, let's go. So then they set out for collecting that wealth. And after the day's journey, in the evening they took bath in a river. And the sadhu sat down and he began to recite the shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. And when Jamunacharya heard these shlokas from Bhagavad Gita, his past memories came back. He began to also wonder, oh, how nice were the days when I was studying in the Gurukul, I was leading a spiritual life. Those days were so nice. So Jamunacharya came and told the sadhu, please keep on reciting. He said that, you know, all of a sudden I realized that how badly I got entangled with these material activities, ruling the kingdom and so many other unnecessary involvements, that I don't even have any time to pursue my spiritual life. And Then the next day also they sat down in the evening and this sadhu was reciting the Bhagavad Gita and Jamunacharya was listening. Then Jamunacharya told him that you please initiate me and show me the way to the spiritual life. Then he said, no, how can I do that? He said that you are the grandson of such a great personality and you yourself are such a great personality that at the age of 8 you defeated the greatest scholar and thus you became the king and your fame is known to everyone. How can an insignificant person like me become your guru? But Jamunacharya said, no, you showed me the way to spiritual life, so you please accept me as your disciple. So then, by being persuaded by Jamunacharya, he began to explain Bhagavad Gita to him. And shloka by shloka, he would explain the purports. And then, finally, every day they would listen to Bhagavad Gita, discuss Bhagavad Gita. And thus Jamunacharya became purified of all his material attachments. And he said, now I am totally disgusted with my royal duties. So I decided that I don't want to go back to my kingdom. So actually, since I'm not interested in my kingdom, since I'm not interested in anything material, so what's the point in taking that wealth? It's pointless. I don't want to take it. Better forget it. So I don't want to go to that place where my grandfather kept the wealth. But this sadhu told him that, look, actually your grandfather gave me the responsibility to hand over the wealth to you. So unless and until I give it to you, I remain indebted to your grandfather. So you please come and take the wealth and then you do whatever you want to do with it. Then at least I'll be free from this great responsibility. So Jamunacharya agreed and then they kept on going south. And then finally they came. Another thing he said, that this wealth was kept in the confluence of two rivers. In the confluence of two rivers, it is surrounded by 7 walls, protected by a snake, and it is watched every year or every day by a demon. So then they actually came to the place where the wealth was kept, and the wealth was the deity of Sri Ranganathji. The place is Srirangam. It is on the confluence of two rivers. The temple of Srirangam is surrounded by 7 walls. And the wealth, the Lord, is lying on the Shesha serpent. So it is protected by a snake. And every day, Bibhishan, the brother of Lord Ramchandra, comes from Lanka to watch the deities. And then he used to come every day and go back. I think it's every day according to their calculation, according to our calculation every year. So Jamunacharya was taken to the temple by the sadhu and he said that here is the wealth that your grandfather asked me to hand over to you. So please take it and relieve me of this big duty, that big responsibility. So Jamunacharya immediately ran towards the deity, grabbed his lotus feet and surrendered himself at the feet of the Lord forever. So that is how Jamunacharya got rid of his kingdom and became situated in spiritual life again. Actually, the rest of his life he was there in Srirangam temple taking care of the deity of Ranganathji. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, Kaveri and Godavari. Jamunacharya lived about 900 years ago. Shankaracharya was about 1,000 years ago. And Jamunacharya was about